Tracy? As we gather here today to remember and honor the life of our dear loved one and friend, let us focus on this thought, a thought I believe to be most reflective of the philosophy of life so richly lived by Arlene and her family. Simply stated, it is that we must learn and understand that real strength, that real power, consists in a love that is gentle. And a real love, a gentle love, is the foundation of all real power and strength. Gentle love is the foundation of real power and strength. We would do well, therefore, I think, to remember these comforting words from the Gospel of John, the beloved disciple of Jesus of Nazareth, when he wrote them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And moreover, he promised that God so loved the world that God gave us the gift of his only Son, Jesus of Nazareth, that whosoever lives and believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These words, I believe, are real and powerful, simply because their source is in one in whom the love of God became incarnate. This love was and is and remains for each of us, for all of us, and for all time. Those of us here in Arlene's beloved community of faith have seen and experienced and appropriated the forgiveness and grace of these words as we remember her life. She lived and loved her God and God's children, even in the midst of her own difficulties and problems, her pain and suffering. We who loved her, we who served with her, simple as this may have been, shall miss her warm presence, the manifestation of her faith in kind and subtle ways, and especially her courage. And so on this day, November 6th, 2019, we remember and honor a spouse, a mother, a friend, a beloved disciple of the Lord, her Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom we call and claim as the Christ. God is with you, and you are with your God of love. We shall miss you, Arlene, but your gift of life is with us yet. Amen and amen. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we come together this day in memory of your servant, Arlene, with our hearts and our minds and our spirits open and turned toward you and turned toward our fellow human beings. For as we turn toward you, we see the reflection of that love through Jesus of Nazareth. and manifested in our lives as we seek to turn that reflection into warm and grace and peace and love to a world in so much need. And we remember these things as we gather here in memory of Arlene, because she manifested them in her life in quiet yet strong ways, in simple but yet profound love for her God, as seen in the love given to us in Jesus of Nazareth, in whose name we pray. Please stand and join with me as we sing together the congregational hymn, Amazing Grace. It's number 649, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Such as this, we turn to the scriptures for a sources of strength and comfort to help us face the issues that are before us. And no better place to look than in the book of Psalms. And for our Hebrew scripture readings today, I will recite three psalms, Psalm 46, 121, and 23. So listen now as we hear God's word from the Holy Scriptures, the Hebrew book of Psalms, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Here ends the reading from Psalm 46. God's defense of his city and his people. The second reading from the psalm, Psalm 121, is a psalm of assurance, a psalm of protection. So hear what the psalmist says here. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And the final reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, one that is most familiar to us all, even those who have even limited acquaintance with the Hebrew Scriptures or the Bible of any sort. Psalm 23, the Divine Shepherd Psalm, as it is well known as. Hear these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths. He leads me for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here ends the reading from this powerful, loving, resourceful psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm. Let us now move to the second hymn in the congregation, hymn number 625, O Lord my God. Now we stand. Thank you. seated. And thank you for that resounding singing. I'm positive that Arlene heard it upstairs quite powerfully. It's really nice when you get such a large group together and it resounds in a small chapel like this. So thank you for that glorious testament to the faith and to Arlene. We turn now to some readings from the Christian scriptures. The Gospel of John, and two readings from the letters of Paul to the Corinthians. I'll begin first with the Gospel of John. John 14, various verses in that chapter. It's a chapter filled with love and grace. A chapter that reaches out to us with that basic foundation of what the Christian faith is all about. Loving God and loving our fellow human beings without reservation. A very difficult thing for us to do many times. But that's the challenge for us. Hear then these words from the Gospel writer John. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a little further, John writes, If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In other words, we will all be one. And we will be one in love and grace and beauty and truth. And peace. All those virtues that come right out of the Godhead. And then John continues and writes, I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. And then two readings from Paul's letter to the Corinthian churches. Now, Corinth, as you all know, was a major stop for Paul as he traveled around the Mediterranean delivering this gospel of love and grace. And the Corinthians were having some problems there. And Paul writes to them, and one of the most famous passages of his second letter to the Corinthians is the one I'm reading here now. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. And he talks about a new creation here, a new being, a new resurrection, so to speak. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, who were in a bit of disarray, So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, a kine kinesis. Everything old has passed away. And see, everything has become new. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You see, just being saved doesn't save it all. One must be reconciled to God, and then become and be a reconciling agent. That is, Paul writes, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. To us, those of us here. We are the church, not this building or any other building, but we are the church. Powerful words from a powerful writer who was, as you may recall, of course, was a powerful opponent of the early Christian community. And then I want to close the Christian scripture readings with this passage. Everyone in this room knows this passage, I'm sure. And yet, every time you read it, you get filled again with the Spirit. And you can feel the Spirit of love and grace that flows forth from it. Originally, it was probably a hymn that Paul knew about and inserted it in his letter, which is what some biblical scholars say. But regardless of where it came from, it's there. And it is powerful. And this is the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the churches at Corinth. And you know it well. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noising gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Here ends the readings from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures. And may the Lord of love and grace and peace touch our hearts with an understanding of these teachings and have them become a part of our lives so that we can extend the beauty of the faith and the richness of the faith to all those whom we meet. Because remember, we are the church. Amen. And amen. Now, at this point in our service, we take a bit of time to see if any members of the family or friends would like to offer some reflections or comments about Arlene. And if you wish to, you can come up to the pulpit up here on the other side and use the microphone there. So are there any who want to say a few words about Arlene here at this point?
Huh? I can start.
Yeah, you can start. Yes, good.
Yeah.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Just want to thank everybody for being here. I actually had a letter given to me by email from Vanya, who was a exchange student that lived with my parents for a year. And I didn't really know her very well, but listening to her letter here, it gave me a better understanding of actually who my mom was. And it's pretty neat to see, as he was talking about love, how much love she passed on to this woman who she didn't know before they had this experience. So I'm going to read this from her. She says, "Hi, my name is Vanya, and I was an international exchange student that stayed with Arlene and Glenn in the spring of 1994. Little did I know that my year abroad as an exchange student would bring a new set of parents into my life. I was expecting to get a host parent, someone who would host me for just a few months and not do much more. I, however, got lucky, very lucky. I got new parents, Arlene and Glenn, who loved me and took me into their family. And I instantly fell in love with them and the entire family, and I have stayed a part of them for the last 25 years. From that very first day, I moved into the house on East Fence Lake. She felt like she was one of their daughters, and that they were her new parents. The relationship just felt right. From the very first day, I knew that I could count on them whenever I needed help or comfort. From that very first day, I knew that they would have my back. From that very first day, I also knew that I would always hear from Arlene when something did not go just right. That strong-minded yet incredibly caring and warm woman would tell me without any hesitation what I needed to know or if I stepped out of line." Does that sound familiar? "Over the years, I learned to appreciate these little nuggets of wisdom and advice to the point that I was actually looking forward to getting them from her. It was only natural for me to stay in touch when I left the nest and went off to college, and while I was living in Wisconsin, I got a chance to see Arlene and Glenn relatively often. I would come home on Thanksgiving, looking forward to tasting and eating many of Arlene's delicious pies." She was a pretty good cook. "She took so much care making them, and I always admired her pride and hard work that went into making them. They also took me on a road trip, my longest trip ever, to Alabama during my sophomore year. This trip remains one of my fondest memories of Arlene. As soon as we got to Gulf Shores, Arlene relaxed and soaked in the waves and warm weather, and we had a fantastic week of walking the beaches, flying kites, enjoying good food, and each other's company. Another anecdote that I would like to share with you, around Christmas time, my family would get a package to be opened on Christmas Day. In that package, there would be carefully wrapped Christmas presents. Over the years, as my family grew, the number of presents grew as well. Although each year we knew what we were going to get, these gifts were the most precious to us, the ones we were looking most forward to open. In case you are wondering, each year we would get a few snowmen for our snowman collection. Why? It's because one year Arlene realized that we did not have many Christmas decorations, so she decided to fix it. Because this is what Arlene did. And now, over the years, we amassed a small army of snowmen. This snowman army graces our home each winter and reminds us to give our thanks and love to Arlene and Glenn. Arlene, you will be missed and remembered for your strong will, caring and warm soul, good food, pies, and of course, wine. My love to you, Arlene. May you rest in peace, knowing that you will remain to live forever in my heart and then in the hearts of my family. I will miss you." And those are words from Vanya to you, which are really sweet. I have to take a drink. I don't know if many of you know that, but my mom and dad adopted myself and my sister. And being adopted is really an incredible gift. Somebody actually went out and handpicked you, and they were proud to be your parents. And what a gift that was. It was never a secret when we were little. It was always a big deal. My mom always made a big deal about letting us know that we were picked and chosen. So I never really had a problem knowing that. And I think that's what catapulted my faith, was because I could parallel my faith with Jesus Christ and being adopted into the family of God with my parents adopting me. As I look back, I'm just so grateful that I had that journey with them. My mom was a person of excellence. She was a person that would complete things And she instilled those values in all of us, though a lot of times I couldn't always keep up with her. As I was listening to Pastor talk about Jesus going ahead of us and preparing a house for us, I was thinking, boy, if she's up there right now, she's the interior decorator of heaven. Because I know if you've had her work in your house, she is an incredible interior decorator. She had vision. She had foresight. She would get the job done. And I can't wait. I hope and pray that she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. I pray that she will be in heaven. I will get to see her soon. I pray that that I was able to instill all those things that she instilled in me that were wonderful and great in my children. And I look forward to living out this lifetime knowing that she's there. So I hope and pray for all of you that someday you will be there and we will see you there in that incredibly decorated heaven in the sky, you know? And I appreciate each and every one of you made my mom into the person she was. I thank you for your input into her life. I thank you for devoting your time and your friendship with her. And more so, I thank you for being a church here in a community that will surround my dad and take care of him while she's no longer with us. So I expect that of you. There's a part of me that's a little bit sassy, and I'm going to come back and check on every one of you. So make sure that you're here to support him and uplift him. And be sure that when you're home with your loved ones, that you speak your peace with them, that you spend the time telling them how much you love them and telling them how much they mean to you. And if you have any discourse, take care of that, because today, this day, I have no regrets with my mother. I've spoken everything I've needed to speak to her, and I love her, and I'm glad. I have no regrets, and I hope that and wish that for all of you, and I pray that I will see all of you in heaven someday as well. So thank you.
So anyone else who wishes to say a few words? Anyone else? No? Okay. Well, then, I guess I will. Okay.
Oh, if I'm going to be able to make it through. I appreciate everyone that has come. I mean, a lot of what my sister said up here, I share. You know, our mom, she was a great woman. You know, my mom and dad, they had a good life together. We had a good life. You know, they made sure my sister and I had everything that we ever needed or wanted. Down to going on vacations, to experiencing things that probably wouldn't have experienced if not for her. She wanted us to experience things like the theater and ballet. And I remember as a child, I never liked to wear dresses. And always fighting with her about having to put a dress on. And why can't I just wear pants? And we would go to these plays down in Wausau when we were living up here, and I'd be like, see, look, they're wearing pants, why can't I wear pants? So that was always kind of a fight, but I appreciate, you know, that she did that, and now I do wear dresses. I'm still comfortable probably more in pants, but, you know, I dress up. You know, she, my dad and her had lots of adventures together. Before they had us, I mean, going through the old photos of the two of them together and just kind of seeing that life that they had before my sister and I came into their lives. And they continued to have adventures right up to the end. I remember they were leaving on that Saturday to go down, and I always say, call me or text me when you get there. And it was like Tuesday, and I still hadn't heard from them. So I call them up, and I'm like, hey, you guys there yet? And they're like, no, they're about an hour out of Gulf Shores. And they said they took the long way. They went up all the way up through the UP, across the Mackinac, bridge and down and ended up in Tennessee. And so they were continuing to have adventures even up to the end. And I'm glad that my parents were able to do that and share that with each other. And I'm thankful for having the mom that I had. She did. She pushed us to be the best that we could be. Sometimes it was hard to live up to those standards, but I know that my mom was proud of both my sister and I, and proud of the mothers that we are and that we became, and that I give to her for, you know, showing us what it was to be a mom. So thank you again for everyone that came to show support and love for our mom. She was a wonderful woman.
Pray with me. God be in our minds and think through them. God be on our lips and speak through them. God be in our hearts and fill our hearts with so much love and grace and peace that those virtues just flow forth from us and embrace all those who are in our midst. And so enlarge the people of God, people of love and grace themselves. And we do this because of that love which was made incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, in whose name we offer this prayer. Amen and amen. First, let me say a few things about Arlene and Glenn that I discovered. And I was thinking about this ever since last week. Arlene and Glenn had been around here in this church almost as long as I have, but I couldn't remember exactly when you came. But I had to find out, because uncanny as it may seem, I describe Glenn and myself in terms of the old comic strip characters, Mutt and Jeff. Well, you know who is Mutt and Jeff here. But I described it that way because we have the uncanny kind of coincidence, I guess you could say, that we like and dislike most of the same things. And he always made me feel good because, you know, I don't like fish. I don't. And what are you doing in Wisconsin? You don't like fish. I said, well, Glenn doesn't like fish either. He's from up here. And so we had this kind of thing. And every time we get together, sooner or later, something comes out, and he'll say something or I'll say something. He said, well, I think the same thing. So Glenn, right from the very beginning, and they joined the church. I had to look it up to find out when you came. And you came about and joined the church about 8 months after I did. So we were here together all these years. It was always nice to have somebody with whom I could have agreement about all the things that, for example, my wife said I should grow up and eat them. It's always nice to have a little support around the outside and so forth. But today, in a more important fashion, we talk about the Christian faith and what is the essence of the Christian faith. And I chose two texts to use as a background for this. One of them, of course, is that passage from the 23rd Psalm. And verse 4, and I like the Elizabethan English here. If you want clarity, you can read the Revised Standard Version, or you can go back to the Hebrew and read the Hebrew if you want. But just for the sheer beauty of it, Elizabethan English just cannot be beaten. You know, Shakespearean English. And the fourth verse goes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And why did I choose that particular text? Well, for one very specific reason. Because the psalmist, who has captured really the essence of the faith, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Note that. And in the Christian faith, that's one of the primary tenets of the Christian faith. Death does not scare us. Death does not put us down. Because we have a faith that says, I'm walking through that valley of the shadow of death, and God is with me. God will lead me. His rod and his staff will comfort me. And we will get through. And when we get through to the other side, I wrote a poem about this one time called The Other Side. And the other side, hyphen, a dove. And the dove is a symbol of peace. We get to that other side. And what do we get to? We get to our real home. Through the valley of the shadow of death, to home. And home is one with God and one with Jesus of Nazareth, one in terms of that other-centered love that is the center of Judaism and Christianity and many others as well. But in Jesus of Nazareth, we see it in its incarnate form. Here it is, right in front of us. And I believe also in that regard that I heard one man put it this way. He said, you know, in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, God has said yes to humanity, to all of humanity. God, from wherever God is, has said yes. I am going to fix this. And our little no in response is like a pea shooter in comparison. We can say no all we want, but our rejection and our turning away will never be able to overpower that love of God where God has said yes. God was in Christ, as Paul wrote, reconciling the world to God's self. And then the second text that I use here is from the Gospel of John. And most people I know love the Gospel of John. And most of them can quote all kinds of sections of it. And that's good. That's wonderful. But the important thing is not just to be able to quote it. And I look at lots of athletic events and people will hold up the sign, John 3:16. And of course, everybody knows what they're talking about. But that means nothing. What really matters, and what mattered to the gospel writer John, was God was in Christ loving the world. And our response should not just to be spewing forth words, but actually to do it, to live it, to be it. And Jesus had made that clear when the Pharisees tried so many times to trap him, you know. Which teacher is the greatest of all the commandments? We got you there, there are 10 of them. Whichever one you pick, we're going to get you on the others. But Jesus said to them, the commandments can be summed up in this sentence. Love God and love your fellow human beings. And by that, I believe he meant whoever they are, whatever they are, and wherever they are. That is the gospel of the Christian faith. Love God and love your fellow human beings. Do that. And you will indeed be walking in the light and path of Jesus of Nazareth, because that's exactly what he commands us to do. And John backs that up later on in some letters that he wrote, you remember. In that third letter of John, the first letter of John, chapter 3:4, in which he says, if anyone says they love God, but do not love their fellow human beings, you may remember what the answer to that question was. That person is a liar. You cannot love God whom you have not seen if you do not love your fellow human beings whom you have seen. And that's why the church is so significant or has such great potential, because we are the manifestation of that love, even though it's incomplete, even though it's not in full tote. We are the loving examples of that. And as I look at over these last 13 and a half years or so, look at my relationship and understanding and growth with Glenn and Arlene, I see that in their lives. Yes, a strong person. A person who had very clear ideas about what she believed and where she stood. A person who was willing to go and reach out to others. Clearly, with your foreign exchange student is a perfect example of that. You never know how important it is when we reach out to do the smallest thing We always get that defense, you know, well, I can't do nothing. I'm just too little. I won't have any impact. You know, but Desmond Tutu used to love to say, you know, well, yes, you can do a little bit, but you can do another little bit, and all those little bits, you know, add up. And such a person, I think, was Arlene. It took me a long time over the years to actually become appreciative of that, because she didn't beat you over the head with it. Lots of people, you know, go around like the Pharisees did, with their religion on their shoulders. And here I am, you know, not like that publican over there. And that's the exact wrong way to do things. And the exact opposite of what Jesus of Nazareth commanded. And that's exactly what I believe Arlene and Glenn did and do in their lives. Sure, we're finite. Sure, there are painful times in life. But there are some things, you know, that we have to answer with. And we do not fear death because we have this conviction, this belief, you know, that God is love and will take us beyond that gate. That's why that verse in Psalm 23 is so important. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And many poets and writers and so forth have picked that up from the secular fields as well. But not everybody. As I look around and review my own life, and I've been a minister now for 60 years, but I worked in the business community on Wall Street for a number of years. And you pick up all kinds of images of what it means to be human and how people act to be human. And I've discerned about three different types. There are some people who are afraid. They really have no chance of living because they're afraid of dying. And they struggle with that all the time. And so their commitments are rather shallow. And then you have a second type. Who have no fear of living, and they have no fear of they have fear of dying, and they are angry about it. But there's a third type, the type of a person who is able to experience life with all of its complexities, a person who is able to look at life in positive light, in a positive fashion, even though there is so much wrong with life, and yet they have the ability to transcend that because they see life and death as only one small phase in an ongoing life. It's like turning the page to a new chapter in the book of life for that person with different kinds of contexts, different kinds of understandings, and we don't always have a clear idea, but that's what faith is. We believe that God loves us, and we live in accordance with that love. And that love touches the lives of so many. And that's the kind of love that I see in the Morrisons and in others as well. And it's not easy. It's not an easy life to live. Others will laugh at you. They will sneer at you. They will say, you know, you can't really defend this or you really defend that. But that doesn't miss the point. Because in the human species there is something deep within us that yearns to get out and commune with it. And from my point of view, that is the very love of God that is in the whole history of humanity from the beginning, always touching us in our lives in so many different ways. And here and there, different people have caught it, like the prophet Micah, for example, who said, I don't care about all of your rituals and all of your doctrines and all of this. What do I care about? I want to care about how you live your life with humility, how you go out after injustice. Those are the things that are important. And they were the same things that Jesus of Nazareth himself expounded upon and manifested in his life. And I've seen it manifested in the lives of many in my long career. And I've seen it manifested in the life of Arlene. Yeah, she must have been a tough mother. Hmm? But, you know, they sometimes call that tough love. And in the long run, that tough love is really enriching and powerful and can get you beyond all kinds of difficulties. And you never know how you can reach back into that if you have that kind of a foundation. So you're a very, very fortunate family. And we were, we are a fortunate church because they were part of this church. And churches like this and others are important as well because they manifest that love in a world that is in desperate need of that kind of teaching, rather than the evils and the prejudices and the hatreds that are there. So we applaud the life of Arlene. And you too, Glenn. Jeff, Mutt. I applaud them for you as well. And I applaud it for all of us. Go therefore into the world and show this love. And you will walk in the light and life of God. I have a poem here to end this off with. I would like to share with you, I think. No, I don't. Well, it basically says, do not have any fear for me being gone. Because I've been here and I have done my work. And I leave you with this image. And now it's your task to take it to the next level. And I leave you with that aspect here. Love God as Arlene loved God. Love your fellow human beings as she loved human beings. And that's not, let's understand, that doesn't mean to say you get saccharine about it. Sometimes love is tough. But what is best for the human being? And I see her in that light. And that's the light of Christianity as well. So with that, we are going to move over and offer some prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. And at the conclusion of that, instead of following up with the Lord's Prayer as we normally do and the congregation communion, we will have a guest soloist sing the Lord's Prayer. And as she sings it, let the words as she sings them flow in your heart and your mind and your spirit. Not just, you know, you're listening to music, but rather to engage with the music, because the music itself is a symbol that can lift our spirits and our lives into much greater heights. So then, with that in mind, we will join together, if you will, in prayer. So pray with me. Loving and gracious God and our God, we do indeed come together this day to honor and to remember the life of one of your servants, a person who lived life with honesty and integrity, a person who lived and manifested in her life marvelous fashions and marvelous illustrations of your love, reaching out to people of all types, a person who indeed understood to a great degree what Christian love, other-centered agape love, really is. And we remember that life and that experience and that love. And we pray for her today as she enters into that new world in your presence, being lifted to those heights that we cannot imagine in this world here. That she is in a place now where all of her pain and suffering are gone. And she is at one in the richness of the peace and love of the one who is the creator of all that is and all that was and all that is ever to be. And that God is a God of love who will not stand ultimately for our turning away, but will keep pulling us closer and closer toward him. We give thanks for her life and Glenn's life and the family's life. We give thanks for the church in which she served as deacon and other fashions, as we reach out here as a community of faith to help others, to enrich them and to love them, especially those who have none who do those kinds of things for them. And we pray that we may continue as a people of faith, following in the footsteps of faith of your servant, Arlene. We remember her with sadness this day because she will not be within our sight. But we remember her also with love and grace because we know that she is with you and that with you, she is also with us. And together, we continue to share, to work, to bring this world into the kind of world that you, O Lord, and our God, desire it to be. And we offer this prayer now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And we will now sing or hear the solo of the Lord's Prayer. Here, the ushers will come forward and take the family out first, and then they will come back and take the rows out one at a time, starting with the beginning, so we can have some control on the exit. Pray with me for a benediction. Most gracious and loving God and our God, we have come here together today to honor the life and faith of your servant Arlene. We pray that she is safe at home with you, in your loving arms, and in your house. And may that love grow continually there evermore. And may we remember her life as an instrument of peace and love on this earth, and that we may follow this path that she has placed with us to continue to share that love with others. And as we go, may we turn our hearts not only toward each other, but toward this world, which is in such dire need in these days of ours, so that peace may indeed one day prevail, so that love may be the highest virtue, and that prejudice of all types may be overcome. For in so doing, we walk in your path, and we walk in the path that your servant Arlene tried so desperately to share with others. Go now then in peace. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.